Okay, now it's time to chant Jairadamadava. Jairadamadava Kunjabihari Jairadamadhuva Kunjabihari Gopijana Malabagiri Badadhati Gopi Janabalabagiri Badadhati Yasodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamunatira Manachari Yamunatira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Malabar Giri Bodhad Ahoti Gopi Jana Malabar Giri Bodhad Ahoti Yashodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravadikacharya Author Tato Satoshi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Maharishila Prabhupada Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindigajai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Vijaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Garadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindigajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Sankunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Majuram Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimadi Talasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindi Kajai, Guru Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Guru Premananda Hari Hari Go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Jatarani So Maganatha Madanda Shagaran Jana Shalakya Chakshuram Minitam Yena Tosmai Shigurveda Maha I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, so kindly open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So we're going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and now we are on the third chapter of the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as we've been doing, we're going to share the reading, and I'll start off with the reading. And I have the right to interrupt you at any point. We'll take questions at the end. To interrupt at any point to be able to make a comment. Okay, and let's share the screen. Chapter 3, the external reasons for the Lord's advent. So, let me explain a little bit about this before we put the hand raising down there in the corner before we start reading the chapter. Well, the Lord has internal reasons and external reasons for everything he does. I mean, for example, when Krishna came down to this earth planet over 5,000 years ago, the external reason for Krishna's appearance was, of course, Prachanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. To establish religious principles, annihilate the miscreants, and protect the devotees. However, those external reasons, or apparent reasons, or what we call exoteric, that's a fancy word, which is the opposite of esoteric, the exoteric reasons, the commonly known reasons, can be accomplished by Krishna's devotees or Krishna's energies. Whereas the esoteric reasons are Krishna's own personal purpose. For example, when Krishna came down over 5,000 years ago, he came to, as I mentioned before, to annihilate the miscreants, establish religious principles, protect the devotees. That could have been accomplished by Krishna's devotees or energies. But Krishna had his own purposes to enact pastimes and enjoy, because Krishna is rasa araj. He's the enjoyer of rasa, or the king of rasa, to enjoy all these different relationships. And there are certain types of activities that Krishna has that do not take place in the spiritual world. That's interesting. Such as killing demons. Obviously, it doesn't take place in the spiritual world because there's no demons and everyone has a spiritual body and can't die there in the spiritual world. In the material world, we have a material body. The body dies, the soul remains alive. We understand that. So, therefore, Krishna wants to enjoy like the pinnacle of certain rasas, like ghastliness, which really can't be done in the spiritual world, and much more anger is here. And so Krishna likes to enjoy these intense emotions in relationship with his devotees, and in many cases he has his devotees come down to this world to help him enact certain pastimes. So we're going to hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's external reasons for appearing in this world, and later on we'll hear about his internal reasons, which are his personal reasons. But let's deal with the external reasons first. And so now we're going to start reading this particular chapter. Okay. So, in this chapter, this is Prabhupada's summary. In this chapter, the author has fully discussed the external reasons for the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. After displaying his pastime, his Lord Krishna thought it wise to make his advent in the form of a devotee to explain personally the transcendental mellows of reciprocal service and love exchanged between himself and his servants, friends, parents, and fiancés. According to the Vedic literature, the foremost occupational duty for humanity in this age of Kali is Namasankirtan, or congregational chanting the holy name of the Lord. The incarnation for this age especially preaches this process, but only Krishna himself can explain the confidential loving service performed in the four principal varieties of loving affairs between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Lord Krishna therefore personally appeared with his plenary portions as Lord Chaitanya. As stated in this chapter, It was for this purpose that Lord Krishna personally appeared in Navadvipa in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's Kaviraj has herein presented much authentic evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures to substantiate the identity of Lord Chaitanya with Sri Krishna himself. He has described bodily symptoms in Lord Chaitanya that are visible only in the person of the Supreme Lord, and he has proved that Lord Chaitanya appeared with his personal associates, Sri Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhara Srivasa, and other devotees to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna. The appearance of Lord Chaitanya is both significant and confidential. He can be appreciated only by pure devotees and only through the process of devotional service. The Lord tried to conceal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by representing himself as a devotee, but his pure devotees could recognize him by his special features. The Vedas and Puranas foretell the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, but still he is sometimes called significantly the concealed descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Channa Avatar. Advaitacharya was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya's father. He felt sorry for the condition of the world because even after Lord Krishna's appearance, no one had interest in devotional service to Krishna. This forgetfulness was so overwhelming that Advaita Prabhu was convinced that no one but Lord Krishna himself could enlighten people about devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Advaita requested Lord Krishna to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water, he cried for the Lord's appearance. The Lord, being satisfied by his pure devotees, descends to satisfy them. As such, being pleased by Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Okay, I'll read the first few verses. Text 1. Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Yad Sangrinad Yakara. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet. Even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Tritiya Shlokera Artha Kaila Rivaran. Chaturtha Shlokera Artha Shuna Bhaktagan. I've given the purport of the third verse. Now, O devotees, please listen to the meaning of the fourth with full attention. Anarpita charem charat karuna avatirna kato. Okay. Anarpita charem charat karuna karunya avatirna kalo samarpaitum unnato jvalarasam svabhakti shriyam. Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sani pitaha sada hridaya kandales purata vasachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He is descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. This is a quotation from the Vidagna Madhava 1-2, a drama compiled and edited by Srila Rupa Goswami. Purna Bhagavan Krishna Brajendra Kumar Goloke Brajera Saha Nitya Vihar. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Braj, is the supreme lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Rajadham. Purport. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Krishna, the son of Brajendra Nandana, Advachandra, the king of Braj, is the supreme personality of Godhead with six opulences. He eternally enjoys transcendental variegated opulences on his planet, which is known as Goloka. The eternal pastimes of the Lord and the spiritual planet, Krishnaloka, are called aprakata, or unmanifested pastimes, because they are beyond the purview of the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna is always present everywhere, but when he is not present before our eyes, he is said to be aprakata, or unmanifest. Brahmaraika dine tino ekabar abatirna hana karena prakata vihar. Once in the day of Brahma, he descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Also, at the same time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends after Krishna. Sacha treta dwarva kali chari yuga jani se chari yuga divya ega yuga mani. We know that there are four ages, yugas, namely Sacha, Treta, Dwarapara, and Kali. These four together constitute one Divya Yuga. Eka tara chatur yuge ega manvantara. Chota manvantara brahmara divasa vitara. 71 Divya Yugas constitute one manvantara. There are 14 manvantaras in one day of Brahma. This is pretty easy to understand. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. Wow. There are 1,000 Divya Yugas in one day of Lord Brahma. And there are 14 Manu cycles in each day of Lord Brahma. So that means there are 71 Divya Yugas in one Manu cycle. Okay. Divya Yuga means the cycle of the four ages together. Sacha, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali. And sometimes there's a little reversal between Treta and Dwarpa. Dwarpara. And I'll just read this purport. Okay, and then we'll go on to the next person. A manvantara is the period controlled by one Manu. The reign of 14 Manus equals the length of one day, 12 hours in the life of Brahma, and the night of Brahma is the same duration. These calculations are given in the authentic astronomy book known as the Surya Siddhanta. A Bengali translation of this book was compiled by the great professor of astronomy and mathematics, Bimal Prasad Datta, later known as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, who was our merciful spiritual master. He was honored with the title Siddhanta Saraswati for translating the Surya Siddhanta, and the title Goswami Maharaj was added when he accepted sannyas, the renounced order of life. So, next person to read is Rakesh, and I'm going to allow you to unmute. You do have to unmute yourself, but you're allowed to unmute now.
Please accept my humble obeisance, Gurudev.
Hare Krishna. So, you can continue with text 9. You can read?
Yes, I can. Just thank you. Go ahead. Vivaswat name a saptam manva antara satesh chatur yuga tahar antara. The present Manu, who is the seventh, is called Vivaswat, the son of Vivaswan. 27 Divya Yugas, 27 multiplied by 4.3 million solar years of his age have now passed. The names of 14 Manus are as follows: Shambhuva, Swarochisa, Uttama, Tamsa, Revat, Chakusa, Vivaswat, Savarni, Daksha Savarni, Brahma Savarni, Dharma Savarni, Rudraputra, Rudra Savarni, Rocha or Deva Savarni, and Bhautyak or Indra Savarni. Astavimsa Chatur Yuge Dwapare Seshe Vraje Sahite Haya Krishne Prakase. At the end of the Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadham. Now is the term of Vivaswat Manu, during which Lord Chaitanya appears. First, Lord Krishna appears at the close of Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga, and then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appears once in each day of Brahma, or once in 14 Manu Antaras, each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. From the beginning of Brahma day of 4 point, I don't even know what that number is now.
Yes. It's 4,320,000,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna appears. Thus,
1,975,320,000.
Yes. Years of the day of Brahma elapse before the appearance of Lord Krishna. This is an astronomical calculation according to solar years. Dasya Sakya Vasalya Shangar Chari Ras Chari Bhave Bhakta Yat Krishna Tar Vas. Servitude, dasya, friendship, sakya, parental affection, vasalya, and conjugal love, shangar, are the four transcendental mellow rasas. By the devotees who cherish these four mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. Dasya, sakya, vasalya, shangar are the transcendental modes of loving service to the Lord. Santaras, or the neutral state, is not mentioned in this verse because, although in Santaras one considers the absolute truth, the sublime great, great, one does not go beyond that conception. Santaras is a very great idea, or very grand idea, for materialistic philosophers, but such idealistic appreciation is only the beginning. It is the lowest among the relationship in the spiritual world. Santaras is not given much importance because as soon as there is slight understanding between the knower and the known, active loving, transcendental reciprocations and exchanges begin. Dasya Ras is the basic relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, this verse considers Dasya the first stage of transcendental devotional service.
Yeah, I think I should explain that. Of course, Shanta, just basically the word means peaceful, like you have in many rituals. You have Om Shanti, 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 Shanti. That is, be peaceful. So, it indicates that one appreciates God, you know, his beauty, his opulence, and all the features of God, but you're not quite, pure Shantaras means you're not quite serving him. You're just appreciating him. It's like a preliminary stage. And sometimes pure Shantaras is described as almost like impersonalism, because you're just appreciating the greatness of the Supreme Personality of God. So in the spiritual realm, no one is in, that is in Goloka Vrindavan at least, no one is in pure Shantaras. They may be primarily in Shantaras, but there's always has to be a touch of dasha, which is servitude. Because our eternal spiritual position is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as Jivara Surupahai Nitya Krishna Das, that our eternal position is to be a servant of Krishna. And if we haven't realized that we're a servant of Krishna, we're not in our eternal position, and our realization is not permanent. So the whole point is to at least have a touch of servitude. And then, if you go up the rest of this from Dasha, from Sakya, Shanta to Dasha, then you have an increase in qualities. Like when you go, the example is given, from the subtler material elements to the grosser material elements. For example, you have sound and ether, okay, and then the sound is also in water, the sound is also in the air, the sound is also in the earth. So you have the qualities, talking about the subtle material elements, that is, the qualities that are in the subtle material elements are all present in the grosser material elements. In the same way, the qualities that are present in what we would call the lower rasas, like Shanta and Dasha, because it's, can't say really lower, but the preliminary, but they're present in the higher relationships. For example, you have dasha ras, which is servitude, the taste of servitude. That's present in the sakya ras, the friendship ras, the parental ras, and obviously the conjugal ras. And actually, not only is it present, but it becomes further purified. Oh, I wouldn't even say word purified. What is it? Further enhanced. Let's use the word enhanced. It's all pure. Further enhanced the higher up you go in the rasas. So in the conjugal ras, you have the quality of friendliness, the quality of many cases of seeing Krishna as an ordinary, always seeing Krishna as an ordinary person, and you have the quality of servitude in the conjugal ras. So therefore, devotees are not interested in the shanta ras. Devotees are interested in at least dasha ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, and of course madhurya ras. Okay, thank you, Rakesh, and we'll let Sumukh go on with text 12. Okay, Sumukh, I am going to allow you to unmute. You're allowed to unmute. Okay. Sumukh, unmute yourself. You actually have your hand up.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Can you hear me good? Okay. Okay. Dasha shakha pita mata kanta gana lana praje krita kare krishna prema vishtahana. Translation: absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in praja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Purport: the descent of Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is very purposeful. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one who knows the truth about Sri Krishna's descent and his various activities is at once liberated and does not have to fall again to this existence of birth and death. After he leaves his present material body, in other words, one who factually understands Krishna makes his life perfect. Imperfect life is realized in material existence, in five different relationships we share with everyone within the material world: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, filial love, and amorous love between husband and wife, or lover and beloved. These five enjoyable relationships within the material world are pervaded reflections of relationships with the absolute personality of Godhead in the transcendental nature. That absolute personality, Sri Krishna, descends to revive the five eternally existing relationships. Thus, he manifests his transcendental pastimes in Braja so that people may be attracted into that sphere of activities and leave aside their imitation relationships with the mundane. Then, after fully exhibiting all such activities, the Lord disappears. Text 13.
Yathastha. So I just want to mention one thing before you continue. So here, one of the purposes of the Lord's advent is mentioned. If you can see the screen, I'm actually going to outline that. So he manifests his transcendental pastimes in Braj so that people may be attracted into that sphere of activities and leave aside their imitation relationships with the mundane. So that's really important. That's a very important external reason for the Lord's appearance. As Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, that if Krishna did not do that, then people would be forced to speculate upon the nature of the absolute. And there's this interesting phenomena that sometimes religionists are accused of. It's called anthropomorphism. Now that's a really fancy word. Not too fancy, actually. Anthro means like human beings, and pomorphism means the form. So generally, when people speculate about God, they actually see God in terms of their own experience and also in terms of their own form. I'll give you a practical example of that. When the Christians depict or make a picture of Jesus Christ, those who are Christians in Europe will generally show Jesus Christ having blue eyes and blonde hair, like a Scandinavian. And those who are Christians in Africa will generally depict Jesus Christ as being black in complexion, nothing wrong with that, and then having very, very kinky curly hair. So generally, that's iconoclastism, if I can make up a word, that they people project what they think God should be like or is like according to their own experiences. So to prevent sincere people from doing that, Krishna shows us what he's actually like, what he looks like, what color skin, transcendental color skin he has, what features he has, what activities he has. As Prabhupada would sometimes say, Krishna tells us, shows us his address, his telephone number, etc., like that. And nowadays, of course, Prabhupada would say, Krishna shows us his email address and URL. So that's one of the most important reasons for Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's advent, to show us the nature of God so that we have a practical exhibition in this world. Okay, so Mukul, you can go on to the next verse, 13.
Yeah, text 13. Yathista vihari Krishna kare antaradhana, antaradhana kari mane kare anumana. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus: Chira kala nahi kari prema bhakti dana, bhakti vina jagat tera nahi avasthana. For a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Prophet, the Lord seldom awards pure transcendental love, but without such pure love of God, freed from fruitive activities, the empiric speculation, one cannot attain perfection in life.
Let me just comment on that. It says here, Lord Chaitanya or Krishna is thinking, without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. So here, Lord Chaitanya is pointing out the purpose of the material world. Teleology, it's called, the study of purposes. The purpose of the material world is to bring us back to our original consciousness. Most people don't understand the purpose of this world. Most religionists don't understand the purpose of this world. But it's like a prison house in which the prisoners have done something wrong and they're supposed to be rectified by their experiences in prison. Okay, one more verse you could read some more. Go ahead.
Okay, text 15. Sakala jagate more kare vidhi bhakti, vidhi bhakte vraja bhava paite nahi shakti. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees of Brajabhumi.
Okay, you stop there. Now, I just want to comment on that too. Because if someone is simply worshiping Krishna according to the scriptural injunctions, this is not to say they should give up regulative principles or give up the scriptural injunctions. But they're in the mood of Aishwarya, which is what Krishna is going to talk about Or what Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are going to talk about in the next verse. If they're in the mood of awe and reverence, you can't go to Braja. So you have to follow the regulated principles, yes. But if you're worshiping Krishna in the mood of the regulated principles, then you can go to a place where God is worshipped in awe and reverence, like the planets. Okay. Thank you very much, Samuk. And now, Radha Padma, you get a chance. Which Radha Padma may be Nilini Kant. I'm not sure who it is. So, you get a chance to read from here, text 16. Is it Nilini Kant or Radha Padma? It's Radha Padma.
Yes.
Okay. So you could read.
Thanks for my obeisances, Gurudev.
Jai, Haribol. Okay, so continue reading.
Text 16. Aishwarya Gnanate Sabha Jagat Mishrita. Aishwarya Tilila Sthila Preme Nahi Mora Prita. Translation. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. Purport. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Rajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya.
Okay, I'm going to say a few words about this. In Vrindavan, people are not thinking of Krishna as God. If they think about Krishna as God, they don't belong in Vrindavan. So they love Krishna for himself, not because he is God. That's a really important consideration. And that's the purest type of love. Generally, in this world, we love someone because of what position they have. I mean, for example, let's say if someone is in a high political position or a movie star or something like that, we love them for that, not so much because of who they are. So Krishna wants to be loved for who he is in terms of his personality, in terms of his activities, in terms of his form, not because of his position as God. Because when you appreciate God as God, you appreciate him basically as the order supplier or a person who maintains everything. Now, I'll give you a practical story or example that illustrates this point. Once upon a time, there was a very rich prince. I think you all know this is a love story, since many of you love stories. Once upon a time, there was a prince, and the prince wanted to get married. And all the ladies in the kingdom wanted to marry him, because, I mean, who would not want to marry a prince? I mean, come on. You get all the money, you get all the cars you want, you get all the food you want, you never have to work a day in your life. But the prince understood this. And he understood that whoever wanted to marry him was marrying him because of his opulences. And so what did the prince do? One day, he took off his prince clothes and dressed as an ordinary citizen and went out into the kingdom. as an ordinary citizen. And when he went out in the kingdom acting as an ordinary citizen, he met a girl, and the girl fell in love with him, and he fell in love with the girl. And then eventually, when the girl was in love with him and they decided to get married, the prince revealed who he was, and she loved him for who he was rather than his position. So the same thing with Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna is just one of the boys. I mean, the best boy. And, you know, he's the best boy, the most famous boy, the most attractive boy. I understand that. But he's not God. As soon as you get into this Aishwarya mood, where Krishna is God, there's a mixture of a lack of intimacy. And that really is not as pleasing to Krishna as the intimacy that he gets with his devotees. Okay, continue. You can continue, Radha Padma.
Text 17. Aishwarya Gnanevidhi Bhajana Kariya Vaikunthake Yaya Chaturvidha Mukti Pana. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. Sarshti Sarupya Arasamipya Salokya Sayujyana Laya Bhakta Yate Brahmaika Aikya. These liberations are Sarshti, achieving opulences equal to those of the Lord. Sarupya, having the form the same as the Lord's. Samipya, living as a personal associate of the Lord. And Salokya, living on the Vaikuntha planet. Devotees never accept Sayujya. However, since that is oneness with Brahman. Purport. Those engaged in devotional service according to the ritualistic principles mentioned in the scriptures attain these different kinds of liberation. But although such devotees can attain Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya, and Salokya, they're not concerned with these liberations. For such devotees are satisfied only in rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. The fifth kind of liberation, Sayujya, is never accepted even by devotees who perform only ritualistic worship. To attain Sayujya, or merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the aspiration of the impersonalists. A devotee never cares for Sayujya liberation. Text 19. Yuga dharma pravartaimu nama sankirtana chari bhava bhakti diya nachamu bhuvana. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, nama sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Text 20. Apani karimu bhakta bhava angi kore. Apani achari bhakti sikhaimu sabare. I shall accept the role of a devotee and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. Purport. When one associates with pure devotee, he becomes so elevated that he does not aspire even for Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya or Salokya, because he feels that such liberation is a kind of sense gratification. Pure devotees do not ask anything from the Lord for their personal benefit. Even if offered personal benefits, pure devotees do not accept them because their only desire is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by transcendental loving service. No one but the Lord himself can teach this highest form of devotional service. Therefore, when the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga to spread the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, the system of worship recommended in this age, he also distributed the process of devotional service performed on the platform of transcendental spontaneous love. To teach the highest principles of spiritual life, the Lord himself appeared as a devotee in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Apane na koila dharma shikhana na yaya na eta na ta siddhanta gita bhagavate gaya. Unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and Bhagavatam.
Okay, Yeah, why don't we end here, and we'll say one more. Actually, we'll let Pran Govinda read, and then after that, we'll ask for questions. Okay, Pran Govinda, you can unmute yourself.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Prabhupada.
Okay.
How many you want me to read, Maharaj?
Just, I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay. जदा जदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम् अधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजामि अहम्. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and the predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami juge juge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Text 22, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Texts 22 and 23 were spoken by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7 to 8. Texts 24 and 25, which follows, are also from the Bhagavad Gita 3.24 and 3.21. Utsiddhe imaloka na kurjan karma chedaham sankarasya cha kartasyam upahanam am imam prajam. If I did not show the proper principle of religion, all these worlds would fall into ruin. I would be the cause of unwanted population and would spoil all these living beings. Jajjat acharati srestas tat tat eve taro jana sajat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Juga dharma pravarteina hai angsa haite amabina anne nare braja prema dite. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Braja. Santo avataro bahava pankaja navaisya sarvata bhadra krishnat anna kobalatas api prema do bhavati. There may be many all auspicious incarnation of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? This quotation from the writings of Billa Mangal Thakur is found in the Loghu Bhagavatamrita 1.5.37.
Hey, okay, so that's it for the reading today. And tomorrow we'll start with text 28. And so now we'll take some questions from everybody. Let me open it.
I have a question, Maharaj.
Okay, so you get the first question.
Can I ask a question from yesterday, or it has to be?
Yeah, ask a question from yesterday. Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Yesterday, on the text 117, Srila Prabhupada talks about the imitation devotees, or we say sahajiyas, that this crying or shedding tears is not appropriate. One should not imitate. One should not display this. And he went on the big paragraph. But then I'm trying to also read Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9, where Prabhupada says, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager, actually cry to become engaged in particular type of service. And then Prabhupada goes further. He says, this is lollam. And without this tear, the higher perfection even will won't come. So can you shed some lights?
Yeah. Yes, that's pretty easy. The crying should be done privately. Because generally, there's a problem with crying publicly. First of all, even if it's genuine crying, it will actually encourage people to imitate, and that it will create a whole class of devotees. Let's say if Prabhupada were to, on a regular basis, cry regularly for every, you know, in front of everybody during the kirtans or whatever. And actually, Prabhupada did cry, but he held it back. I was with Prabhupada, and you could usually see tears coming from Prabhupada's eyes, which Prabhupada really tried to keep back. But let's say if Prabhupada had manifest continually, I mean, once in a while it did come out, but let's say if Prabhupada could manifest continually the symptoms of Vyabhachari Bhava, you know, crying or at least Anubhava, then the devotees would have followed it and thinking that the external symptoms are all in all. So the answer to your question is, yes, we should learn to cry for Krishna, but the crying should be done as a private thing, not during Mangal Arati.
Maharaj, your godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, such a great soul like you.
Yeah, Gaur Govinda said, we're opening up a crying ashram.
Yeah, school. He said we should open a school to learn how to cry.
A crying school. I know that. I heard him say that. Yes, but that means that one has to be genuinely crying for Krishna. And what I see is that when people cry in public, it creates the wrong impression, and usually their motive is not so good. And there's that story. I'll tell you the story. I think it's the Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Mangal. Once upon a time, there was a snake charmer guy.
Yes.
And he was chanting this very nice song about Anantashesh, actually. And when Haridas Thakur heard the song, he started dancing in ecstasy, and this snake charmer guy, he just appreciated very much and stopped the crowd from harassing Haridas Thakur and really worshipped Haridas Thakur. Then one of the Brahmins in the audience became a little bit envious of Haridas Thakur, of getting so much appreciation for dancing nicely like that in ecstasy. I should do the same thing. So he went in the middle of the assembly and started just wildly dancing, and the snake charmer basically kicked him. And he said, but you appreciated Haridas Thakur, who was a Muslim, but me you're kicking. And he said, because you were imitating. So the problem is that, you know, even if someone like Haridas Thakur is experiencing ecstasy and manifesting ecstasy, people will follow and imitate because, you know, you get profit, adoration, distinction. You know, and, it, you know, so we have to be really careful. I mean, if I was to, go into the temple in the morning and just, roll on the ground in ecstasy, we'd have, especially on the internet, be really obsessed. Then we'd have all the devotees here rolling on the ground in ecstasy, and then I'd get investigated by the GBC because all the devotees in the Nukaloka are rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And then it would start all over the world where devotees would imitate. You know, and I've seen even kirtan styles, devotees imitate the different kirtan styles when they see different kirtan styles or dancing styles, and it then becomes the mode, what they're supposed to do. So one has to be very careful not to give people the wrong impression.
Okay.
So crying in ecstasy, you know, the only time I cry is when disciples act like rascals. And I cry because I couldn't help them. So I spend most of my time crying because I have so many disciples who act like rascals. So so I have learned to cry, but for the wrong reasons.
Can I ask you one more question, Maharaj?
All right, one more quick, because we got to give other people opportunity to ask questions.
The text for today's, that Ujjala Rasam, Prabhupada translated as Srila Prabhupada translated as a conjugal mellow.
Yes,
Ujjala Rasam. So there's a group of ISKCON devotee, they think like until we actually come to that platform of Madhurja Rasa, we are not even getting Mahaprabhu's mercy. Can you shed some lights?
Mahaprabhu had many devotees who were servants, many devotees, which Lord Nityananda's devotees were generally coward boys. If you read the Gauranganadesh Deepika, and you know what you know about the Gauranganadesh Deepika by Kavi Karnapur.
Yes.
So if you read that, you'll see how a lot of Lord Chaitanya's associates were servants or coward boys or were in the Vatsalya Ras. So to limit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to Vatsalya Ras is not appropriate. However, everybody who is in Lord Chaitanya's associates, who are Lord Chaitanya's associates, is serving the Ujjala Ras. Coward boys, they're assisting in the Ujjala Ras in different ways. I mean, sometimes they're carrying messages. Sometimes they're just getting the gopis to get envious of them because they're able to be with Krishna all day long. So everybody is assisting the Radha Krishna conjugal loving affairs. But if we think that that's the only way to be a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're actually acting in opposition to the descriptions of the Shastras and the descriptions of so many great devotees. I mean, what to speak of Murari Gupta? Wasn't Murari Gupta a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he's Hanuman. Yes. I mean, his relationship is with Lord Ram. What to speak of Anudpama, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami? He was also Ram Bhakta. So you find Ram Bhaktas, and you know, you find so many. So many, like Goridas Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya, who were situated in the friendship relationship, coward boys, you know, Sakyaras. So, all right, let's give someone else a chance to ask who hasn't asked. Let Rishikesh ask. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, you said that, you know, to enter Vrindavan, we can't worship Krishna in awe and reverence. We need to have more intimate relationship with Krishna.
That's right.
But my situation right now, I mean, you know, my only way to worship him is awe and reverence. So how am I going to get admission in Vrindavan?
You're out of luck. Anyway, no, that's a joke. So we worship Krishna. We'll see you in Vaikuntha. I'll visit you once in a while.
No, I don't want to. I want to win Vrindavan.
I'll visit you once in a while, Hrishikesh, okay? I'll send you a letter.
I want to come with you.
I'll send you a letter, an email, so we can see it. We worship Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence because that's Prabhupada's instruction. We follow the rules and regulations. I have to be very clear about this. But when we think about Krishna, here's the difference. We follow, we worship is in the mood of awe and reverence, and let's say we hear about Krishna from the Bhagavatam as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when we think about Krishna personally, we just think about Krishna, not as God. I mean, that's how I deal with it. Well, I shouldn't reveal my mind. Then my worship, of course, I'm following the rules and regulations very, very strictly. But when I read Krishna book and hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, I never think that Krishna is God. I never think that Krishna is God. When I chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I do not think that Krishna is God. I chant the Hare Krishna Mantra following the rules and regulations very strictly, but I don't conceive of Krishna as God when I'm chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I conceive of Krishna as Bhoktaram Jagatapasa, well, actually, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, my best friend. And I'm not saying I'm in the Sakya Ras. As Krishna. When I talk about Krishna as Krishna, I think of Krishna as Krishna. So it's a question of worshipping in the mood of awe and reverence, because that's what Prabhupada wanted, and at the same time thinking of Krishna in the form of Krishna and forgetting that he's God when you're thinking of Krishna. I mean, it's a trick.
It's an internal mood, Gurudev. It's an internal mood we have to develop.
What's Krishna. That?
Is it the internal mood we have to develop with Krishna?
The internal mood, yes. The internal mood as one advances. Otherwise, you take it too cheaply. You really have to come to a very advanced state of always having an internal mood that Krishna is Krishna. That's it. Krishna is Krishna. He's Krishna. But that means you have to surpass the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. But you still follow the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, but you surpass the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. So you're not following the rules simply for following the rules. You're following the rules to attain perfection in an intimate relationship with Krishna. So gradually, as you advance in devotional service, your relationship with Krishna will be revealed. But don't give up your worship in the mood of awe and reverence. I mean, it's a tricky thing. And don't let anyone else know about it except for, very advanced pure devotees who you respect. But don't worry. I will make sure you don't go to Vaikuntha.
Well, thank you, Gurudev. That's so nice of you. I just catch your dhoti.
If you end up in Vaikuntha, I will come there and chastise you for being in the wrong. No,
that is not the choice. I'm not going to settle for anything less.
But that's up to Krishna. I mean, technically speaking, we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And some devotees, like Bharari Gupta, they're going to Ayodhya in the spiritual world. I mean, like Anupama, they're going to Ayodhya. Everybody has their own particular relationship, and that will be uncovered as you progress in devotional service. But be patient. Utsahan nishya darya tatat karma vavartana. If one is enthusiastic and patient and determined and following the rules and regulations, then all this will be revealed, what your eternal, and whatever your eternal relationship is, that is your perfection. So don't worry about it right now. Whoever you are, you are. And we don't want to jump up too quickly. I mean, like I described when I first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I thought I was a coward boy. And, I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying I'm not a coward boy. That's not the point. But we just want to jump up too quickly. Whatever our perfection is our perfection. When we uncover who we are, then we'll understand who we are. So you just got to give it some time, Rishikesh. I wouldn't worry about it. And also, by being part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement and preaching Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada said that's in the mood of the gopis, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So it's not something I worry about. I just think about how to please Prabhupada. And, frankly, when I do think of it, I don't think of it as God. Yeah, and of course, when I read about Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan, yes, then I think of the God stuff. But when I read about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, like we were reading in the Bhagavatam the last few days about Krishna stealing the butter. Krishna stealing the clothes. Oh my God. Oh my God, Krishna stealing butter. It's quite a bit difference between clothes and butter. So Krishna stealing the clothes from the gopis. I didn't think in my mind for a second as we were hearing these pastimes that God is stealing someone's clothes. I mean, it's just like, huh? It doesn't just jive that here's God stealing. No, here is Krishna stealing clothes. And I forget that I'm dealing with the Supreme Personality of God. Of course, Prabhupada keeps reminding me in the Krishna book, it's the Supreme Personality of God. But anyway, so I forget when I hear these pastimes that I just, there's my Krishna. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one comes to the conception that Krishna is yours, it belongs to the devotee. And when one, in the beginning, one is thinking, I am Krishna, then one advances, then I belong to, then Krishna belongs to me. Anyway, I'm not saying I'm at that stage. I'm at the stage of thinking the material world belongs to me. So, anyway, but oh, so much is mine today, so much more than I have tomorrow. He is my enemy, I have conquered him. These are my thoughts. Anyway, so the point is just go on serving, deserve, and then desire, and everything will be revealed to you. But follow the rules and regulations. And Sangos Jagat. Be careful about bad association. Sato Vrite, follow in the footsteps of the great saintly persons and perform the Sankirtan Yajna. Very good step. The devotees in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and preaching Krishna consciousness. Actually, my whole concentration is based upon bringing people to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. You know, and then I understand Krishna will take care of me. I mean, I wouldn't mind staying in the material world and serving Prabhupada eternally. I wouldn't complain about it. I mean, to be in a position of someone like Narada Muni, that would be cool. Just to travel around and preach to people and not have to worry about the coronavirus.
The spiritual body.
Narada Muni doesn't have to worry about the coronavirus. He can just travel around freely. So, that would be nectar. Just to bring people, the highest pleasure is to bring people to Krishna consciousness. I mean, I can't think of a higher pleasure than that, bringing people to Krishna, Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. And Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we should be willing to shed gallons of blood in order to do that. So to me, that is the most ecstatic thing. And if that means not going back to Godhead, that's fine with me. If I can just always be engaged in serving Prabhupada in this material world, that's ecstatic. Okay. Will Krishna protect one question, last question? There are bad association occasionally to sustain another's respect? That's a pointed question if I ever saw one. It's like a Christmas time question. Will Krishna protect us if we are in bad association occasionally to sustain another's respect for Krishna consciousness? We're trying to share Krishna. We have to be very careful. Many stalwarts have actually slipped because of that particular objective. You have to be very careful. It's like trying to catch a big fish without getting wet. So one just has to be very careful. Yes, we want to. We don't want to just like give up our Krishna consciousness just to sustain someone's respect for Krishna consciousness. First of all, you got to save yourself. Prabhupada said you got to save yourself. It's not that we sacrifice our own Krishna consciousness for saving others. We sacrifice our energy. We sacrifice our lives. But we don't sacrifice our consciousness. We don't risk our consciousness for saving others. Prabhupada never did that. So you have to know what your adhikar is. What right do you have? What is your level of advancement? How much you can deal with the material energy without getting confused? Like we see many devotees, you know, very sincere devotees, they're somehow or other put in contact with Krishna's material energy and they're not mature enough to know how to deal with it. They may come across a whole bunch of money all of a sudden. I've seen devotees who have like had an inheritance and just come across a whole bunch of money. And we know, Dhanam Janam Sundarim Kavitam Bhajagadishikamaya. You know, Dhanam Janam, wealth, beautiful, whatever. Followers. I mean, it's very bewildering. So one has to be ready to deal with this material energy, and one should know one's limitations. If you go and you're entering a weightlifting competition, you should know how much you can lift without destroying your body and getting a hernia. So one has to know what they're capable of doing. We were talking this morning about Ramananda Roy teaching the Devadasis how to dance and stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he's the only one who has that prerogative to be able to do that. So everybody has their prerogatives, you know, their limitations. But just be careful. Prabhupada said, the problem with you boys and girls, I guess I'm still a little boy, problem with you Western boys and girls, you're not enough afraid of Maya. You know, we think we're advanced devotees, we can play footsie with Krishna's illusory energy and get away with it. It's not like that. This material world is danger. Not only in terms of, you know, padam padam yadi padam natesham, in terms of the external danger, but it's dangerous in terms of dealing with Krishna's material energy. I've seen so many sincere devotees, like, they would go, I mean, like, young people, sometimes they'll go to a school, and they'll get contaminated by the association there, and they're thinking, I'm Krishna conscious, I can remain Krishna conscious, but then the association drags them down. Even, you know, in the university, so many things happen. So, know your limitations. Okay, on that happy note, I think we have to end tonight's dissertation, and we'll see everybody tomorrow night for the continuation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita study. We're still on the third chapter of the Adi Lila, the philosophical chapter of the external reasons for the Lord's advent in this world.